Hello, my name's Mark from thewaybackmeditation.org, and this is video number 35, which will also be available on a podcast. So hello if you're listening on podcast. Now, the topic today in this video is a response to a question I was asked by one of the people I teach abroad. And it's about the subject, which I think is really, really relevant to everyone, whether you meditate or not. It's the subject of how do you gauge or know your level of spiritual progress. He actually sent me a message saying, look, can you tell me the level of my spiritual progress? And on the surface, it's a perfectly legitimate question. As I started to explore it, because my instinct was not to just dive in and try and answer his question. And in fact, throughout this video, I'm going to be going into more detail about why that might not be a good idea, so that by the end of this video, you're going to have a much more concrete and better understanding of, hopefully, of what spirituality is. This question really brought a lot more to the surface, and I wanted to share that with you. So this is the purpose for this video. And wherever you're at, by the way, whether you meditate or whether you are initiated or not, and we'll talk about what that means in a little while, or whether you're not meditating at all, you maybe even don't consider yourself spiritual, but I reckon that you're going to learn something, hopefully, in this video that's going to speak to you, that resonate with you, and maybe give you clarity over what you already understood. Now, I'm going to be drawing on my own experience and sharing in the experience of other people. And my own background, which I'll go into a little bit more in this video, is, you know, many, many decades, over 40, I think now, of meditation and spiritual exploration. Well over 20 years of teaching. I've been taught by various groups. I'm independent now, and I share my teachings under the kind of umbrella of the Way Back group. So what I'm representing here isn't necessarily going to be what other people who talk about meditation or talk about initiation or talk about spirituality. It might not be phrased the same way, and that's okay, because hopefully what you're going to get from this is more of an ability to know what matters for you, and maybe it'll just shed some light on things, put things in a different way, and help you to discern and discriminate in your own spiritual journey. And if that's all that you get from this, then that's actually really, really valuable. We're answering a question which was, can you tell me the level of my spiritual progress? And really, there's two key words in that. There's spiritual or spirituality, and there's the word progress. So we're going to break it down a little bit and look at, first of all, well, hang on a sec, before we can answer this question, let's just define what spirituality means. And again, this is, I'm talking from my own experience of being on a journey and also teaching others. So this is where we're coming from, and hopefully it will resonate with you and be of value. Okay, so there's two key parts to this, to what you could consider spirituality. The first one is spirit or spiritual. And that's the one that everyone recognizes. So that you might recognize in terms of meditation, inner stillness, going inside. And certainly when we talk more about spiritual meditation, we start to allude to things like light and sound meditation and the process of initiation, which is the process of gaining access to this light and sound energy. And that's the typical spiritual side, and it's based on the spirit. The other part that I think is really underrepresented, but hopefully what you're going to get in this video is you're going to see just how important this other part is. And we have talked about this in other videos as well, and I'll provide links in the description and on the website and things like this. But the other part is the soul. So you could say there's the spiritual journey or the spiritual part, and then there is a soul journey or the soul part, and both of these are fundamental to really addressing what is spiritual or what is spirituality. Okay, so whereas the spiritual part you might recognize as being concerned with meditation and the focus on the spirit and beyond everyday life, the soul part is very much in everyday life, and it's about growth through experience, through the contrast of living within duality, living in the world, being incarnated into a body. And the spirit, in the most simple terms, the spiritual journey is about light, which is why we talked about initiation into light. The soul fundamentally is about love. So when we say the soul journey or the soul development is about love, what it means is that in this lifetime and through the previous lifetimes that you've had, because, and again, we can talk about this in other videos, the soul is gathering experiences throughout many lifetimes in order to learn more about love, to be more loving, okay? And to develop what kind of soul qualities that galvanize around love, okay? And so this touches on something really important, which is about life lessons. Now, life lessons are key lessons, key learnings that life presents to you, to your soul, so that your soul can learn something fundamental, whether it's about compassion or forgiveness or courage or wisdom, these various qualities that collectively bring you more towards a loving state. And when people talk about life lessons, it goes hand in hand with life plans, and we'll go into much more detail on this, but life plans, the life plan is the predetermined course of events, the predetermined lessons that you elected before you incarnated into this life. You said, I want to learn about this and this, and therefore the right mother, the right body, the right location and situation to be born into was found for you, so that your lessons, the ones you wanted to learn, could manifest. And so you planned this life, and then you came into it, forgot about all of that, so that you're living it in the moment. And so when we talk about life plans, it's what you agreed before you came here that you wanted to work on, so that your soul could evolve more towards love. So in a nutshell, that brings it round to, we've got the spirit and light, and that's explored in meditation outside of everyday life. And then you've got soul growth and development, which is explored through pretty much everything that you do, but really kind of comes together with key life lessons that were pre-planned. So we talk about life plans. Now, when we talk about this, we're saying the soul is focused on love and the spirit is focused on light. Well, where does love come from? Where does light come from? I don't mean the light, I mean inner light, spiritual light. Ultimately, it all comes from God, okay? Now, the moment anyone, I think, says the word God, it's natural that there's going to be a bit of a response from some people, and they think, well, hang on, are we talking religion all of a sudden? I thought we were talking spirituality. We're not, and I'll qualify that, because people maybe use other words because they want to avoid the association with religion. So some people may use words like the source or unity or oneness or many different ways of trying to refer to this, but it's fundamentally, it is God. And really, I think it really comes down to, where are you personally in your own spiritual journey? But religion is about devotion, contemplation and belief. And when you look at these things, and obviously there's more to it, you know, I'm really keeping things simple. These are all about the mind. So belief is in the mind, contemplation is in the mind, devotion comes from the mind. There is an element of love and coming from the heart as well in devotion, but it's an idea that comes from the mind. So whereas I said that what I've described up to now as spiritual came from the spirit and the soul, the religious side of things is more to do with the mind. And that's all we're really going to kind of touch on there, because I'm a spiritual teacher. I'm not promoting nor advocating nor denying that religion exists, but it's not something I'm interested in. And it's not something that is for me or for those that I teach or for many people that I've worked with. It doesn't seem to be necessary for spirituality. So if you want religion, then it's there and you can go and explore that. But if you want spirituality without the bindings of dogma and belief and literature and all of them, the kind of mind-based stuff, then the good news is that that looks like something that's possible, and that's what we're exploring here. So we've kind of got that out of the way. We're comfortable now, hopefully, with using the word God and not meaning it in any kind of religious way. And so for clarification, it's not meant in any religious way. The other key word was the word progress, and this is, when I started looking into it, it's quite fascinating. Progress is predominantly, certainly in the spiritual circles, it's predominantly a historical baggage, really. And let me explain that. So I've gone through this process myself, by the way, and I've supported other people through it. So I'm talking as a student and as a teacher and someone who came to it not knowing about it. So as someone that's, say, naive about these things. So when I first started, we're going back quite a long time, quite a few decades ago, the fundamental process hasn't changed. And how it was put to me and how it is that it's spiritual meditation starts with initiation, which means beginning. And initiation is the first step. So we have this idea of a step. So straight away, it sets up this goal-orientated dynamic. People are striving or wanting to be initiated. Once they're initiated, then after a period of time, there is second initiation. And after a period of time, there is third initiation. And that's putting it really simply. Third initiation, by the way, is also known as enlightenment. And that sets up this dynamic of compare and contrast. So someone who's a second initiate seems to be further along than a first initiate and therefore is more spiritual, and someone that's enlightened is further along than both and is even more spiritual. And so the idea of progress, moving from one state to the next state to the next state, is very much ingrained into the classic way that spirituality from a meditative point of view was approached. And rightfully so, because there are these landmark realizations and expansions, for want of a better word. Now, what this means, though, is that the emphasis is on reaching the goal. So a lot of people, and I've been in that mindset for a while myself, and I've seen it. I want to be enlightened, or I want to be initiated. And so it's always striving for something you don't yet have. And so the key word there is striving. So progress and striving really do go hand in hand. The situation in modern day is even more confusing, though, because certainly when I came along, and this is kind of dawn of internet time, I'd started meditating even before that, and there was no internet, so there wasn't an overload of information. But now if you look into light and sound meditation or initiation, you're going to see that there's an array of ways that it's portrayed. And so, for example, some people are talking about initiating hundreds, if not thousands, of people in one go, and remote initiations where the person who's giving you the energy is on the other side of the planet and you've never met them. People are supposedly going straight to enlightenment within minutes or hours of being initiated. And all kind, you know, that alone is quite a contrast from how I understood it and from my own experience and what we teach. And we don't do remote initiations, and we are very much individualistic in how we help support each person. So we don't do, you know, 500 people in a room, and it's very impersonal. And also there's, you know, depending on where you look, you'll find that some people are initiating children at a very young age, whereas our understanding of how the aura evolves and how people spiritually mature, we don't initiate children. We feel that that's not right. But my point being that if you were to look into it now, if I was coming to this now, there would be even more confusion. And therefore, it doesn't mean that it's not about who's right or who's wrong, but it's how do you personally differentiate and navigate what can be quite confusing. And then how do you gauge your progress? Because the question really is about spiritual progress. Because if someone's saying, well, you can remotely initiate someone who's 4 years old and they can retain enlightenment in 10 minutes, and someone else is saying, well, actually, no, initiations have to be done in person and you have to be at least 18 and you have to prepare, then there's quite a contrast there. And it puts you in a situation where having some really useful, down-to-earth and hopefully common sense information can help you choose what's appropriate for you. A lot of the people who are teaching around the world, I actually know from my past, from various groups, and so I understand their background as well. And there's a lot of common roots in terms of where things have come from, but I can only speak personally. And the more, especially in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, the more I've really gone deeper into things, bringing down even more knowledge and growing into what I already had, the more I've understood about spirituality, and this doesn't just go for me, this is myself and quite a few other people, the more we've discovered about spirituality, then actually I've been giving fewer initiations. I've been investing even more heavily in those people who are initiated or are going to be initiated. And my whole outlook and perspective on this has changed quite drastically, and I'm going to hopefully explain to you why. So the more I've learned about the truth about spirituality, the further I've gone away from the idea that it's about initiating as many people as possible or anything like that. What you're going to discover in this video is the reasons why, okay? So a little bit more, because I think if you're going to listen to anyone talking about initiation, enlightenment, spirituality, then why? Why would you listen to them? What makes them worth listening to? On the website, you'll find a lot of information about my background. So I'm a meditation teacher. I've also been meditating for a long time. So I'll give you a little bit of an idea. So I was born in 1974 and I started meditating around about the age of seven. And I didn't have a teacher. I didn't have a book. The internet didn't exist. So it was purely intuitive. But it was pretty phenomenal what I was experiencing when I closed my eyes and went in on the inside. And I suspect that this is actually, a lot of people could relate to this. Now, I was very young. I wasn't initiated. But I was intuitively exploring inner stillness, and that's where it begins, okay? And then, roll forwards, I was a young man off to university, and I was very much spiritually driven and looking for something, and that's a clue. I was looking for something, I didn't necessarily know what, and I heard about light and sound meditation, and something inside me went, well, this sounds interesting. I'm not sure about everything I'm hearing, but, and here's the key thing, I need to find out for myself. So I joined a group. I wasn't, up to then I'd be on my own, so it was a bit of a, you know, kind of tentative thing. Let's see how we get on with this group. Got on all right with them. Didn't necessarily agree with everything, but went along with it, and I got initiated, and boy, it was fantastic, and it still is, and it was real. But fast forward to 2009 and I attained enlightenment. So that's a long period of time. And in that period of time, I was meditating minimum of 2 hours a day, 6 hours minimum every weekend. I was doing 3-day meditates, 5-day meditates, 10-day meditates, 12-day meditates. So I think the take home message is I was really treating it as something serious in my life. And it still is to this day. So I attained enlightenment in 2009. It wasn't until 2016 that I actually started to initiate people. And at the start, like I said, as many people saw it, let's just initiate as many people as want initiation. But like I said, as I've learned more, I've done less in terms of initiating for good reason. So I've been teaching for a long time. I've been giving people access to the energy. I've taken people right through the journey, and I've been through the journey myself. And importantly, I've met a lot of interesting characters, I've met some wonderful teachers, and I've learned from a lot of different people. Okay, so now we look at the kind of the whole question now, because we've looked at spirituality and we've looked at progress as an idea and a concept. So the question is, why are people asking this question? And again, this is very historical, and it comes down to the idea of a master. So for those of you that aren't familiar with that term, the master would be the ultimate teacher, and then they'd have teachers beneath them. And the master was the ultimate authority on the matter of spirituality. The master would decide when you get initiated, when you get second initiated, when you get enlightenment. And then certainly my experience, and a lot of people around the world had shared the same experience, the master would then, when you were, say, sitting for first initiation or sitting for second initiation, more so for second and enlightenment, you hadn't done it until they said you had done it. Okay, so you might sit for 8 days to do second initiation, and irrespective of your experience, you hadn't done it unless the master confirmed you had done it. So the master was not only the gatekeeper of getting access to the energy, but whether or not you had completed that step in your journey was determined by the master, not by you. Okay, so that's where it historically came from. So people would ask, well, have I done it? Or while they were sitting for meditation, the ones supervising would ask the teacher or the master, have they done it? And so that idea of you need someone else to tell you you have done it, is the basis really of historically why people seek the answer to this question, you know, can you tell me what my spiritual progress is? And many of the people that are now setting or have set up groups around the world were taught by the same master. And I can, you know, I did this myself when they went off and set up their groups, and when I did the same, then that approach or that belief that it was necessary to validate or to quantify someone's progress carried on. And it was around about 2017, 2018, myself and a few of the kind of core people in my team, we realized this isn't healthy and this isn't helpful. We're not going to do it anymore. So up to that point, we were doing what's called state checking. So when someone's sitting down to do second or sitting down to do enlightenment, we would be very much on the inside checking where they are in their progress and then giving them or the ones supporting them feedback. Now I look back and I say, and as I'm sharing in this video, it's not necessarily the most helpful thing, but that gives you an idea of where the idea came from and why this to this day, this idea of the teacher or the master being responsible for telling you where your progress is comes from a meditative spiritual point of view. But we don't do this anymore, and this is really a reflection of how our understanding of spirituality has grown. So firstly, people are asking because it's historically indoctrinated into them, but there is also perhaps a deeper reason why it is that people would ask the question in various ways: can you tell me how I'm doing, or can you tell me how spiritual I am, or am I progressing, these kinds of things. And really, to explore that, I want to take you on a little journey. We're going to do a little exercise now. So if you're driving a car, you can't do this, obviously. Give your full attention to driving a car. Maybe pause this and come back to it later. This is if you're listening as a podcast. But if you're able to do so, I want you to just relax. Okay, you can carry on listening to my voice and notice whatever's around you. But I want you to relax and take a deep breath. You know, you can close your eyes if you want. We're not meditating, we're just relaxing. But as you listen to my voice, notice that there's a difference between having an internal dialogue, so I say something and you react, and simply listening, simply being present. And take another deep breath and just become a little bit stiller, stiller. Now in a little while, I'm going to ask you a question. When I ask that question, there's no need to think or try and find the right answer. The answer will simply appear. And whatever comes up is perfectly fine. And if you did this again in the future, you'd find that something else comes up. So it's maybe just what you need to know at this particular time. So I'm going to ask the question. And when I ask the question, just notice whatever you notice. Taking a deep breath. And relax. Where does your need to know come from? And whatever came up, whatever you're aware of at this time, is perfectly fine. We'll come back to this. So am I saying that it's a bad idea for someone to ask about their progress or their spirituality? I'm going to share three true stories with you. And then this will help you hopefully make your own mind up. Okay? So well before I was initiated, I was experiencing things on the inside that were pretty amazing. And then I joined this group. And that was for me a big thing, actually, because up till then I'd done everything on my own. But these guys, they were nice, they were well-intentioned. And the weekly meditation group was run by two people who were already initiated and were considered. One was a second initiate, so they were considered very special. And we were very lucky to have them teaching us, that kind of thing. And there's me, I was very young and naive and innocent, and these two kind of revered teachers were teaching us. And they asked us at the end of a meditate, they went around the room and they said, so what did you notice on the inside? Now, I wasn't initiated at this point. I was probably 2 or 3 weeks into being taught by them. And I told them what I'd noticed. And I went, no spoiler alerts, I'm not going to tell you exactly what it was, but I was describing something on the inside. And I wasn't really looking at them when I was talking, but when I looked up, I caught them giving each other quite a concerned look. And they were a bit shocked by what I was saying. And it wasn't until I got initiated and quite a while later that I learned why they were a little bit surprised and shocked. It's because what I was describing was something that they believed from their master was only possible once you were initiated. Okay, but for me, this is something that I've been experiencing on and off for a while. And I talk about it. So those of you that don't know, I'm an author and I've got a number of books. And my books, by the way, this is not a sales pitch. All my books are not for profit. So any costs are purely to cover the costs of printing. Okay, but in one of the books I'm working on at the moment, I do actually go into this in a lot more detail. But the key thing here is, so what they did is they looked at each other and then they kind of went to the next person. They just said to me, oh, that's nice. And they went to the next person. They completely stonewalled it. And because it was outside of what they understood and it was beyond, it kind of broke their model of how things should be. So rather than going, wow, that's amazing, tell us more, let's investigate this, let's look into this, this is pretty special, they squashed it. And me being kind of in the role of student and them being in the role of teacher, I gave them authority, and so I allowed them to squash it, and I stopped paying as much attention to this particular phenomena, and it diminished in importance to me because they told me through their actions and through their response that it was not important. And so this is really, really, really an important kind of story here, because actually there was something there and it was dismissed because it didn't fit their model of the world, their understanding. And so when you ask someone a question about your progress or your journey, you are giving them a lot of power to dismiss where you are at. The second story, so fast forward a few years and I've been initiated, and we'd meet about once every fortnight at the main teacher's house. And it was a couple who lived in Manchester, and we'd go to their house and we'd all sit downstairs in the teaching room. And we'd be taught, it's called discourse, so they talk, it was more than being talked at, less discussion. But upstairs, someone had just finished sitting for second, so they'd been given the energy maybe a week before. And as an honour, I guess, they invited this person to come down and to answer a few questions, because they'd just done this big state change and were now a second initiate. And I knew the person quite well, and so she came downstairs. And she looked bewildered and a bit shell-shocked. And maybe that was just from the contrast of coming out of a long meditate, because I know it can take a bit to come out. But what happened next really left an impression in me to this day. And I was quite shocked at the time, but I guess I didn't know enough then to articulate it to myself, let alone others. And so again, being the youngest or one of the youngest people in the entire group and being in awe of all of these spiritual teachers, I just let it go. I just trusted. I think it might have even been me. Someone asked, so have you done it? Have you made the state change? And she kind of looked at the teacher, the main teacher, who was the guy that gave all the energy, not the master, but like the second in command or whatever. And she kind of looked at him for reassurance, and you know, and she said, yeah, it's been confirmed, meaning someone's told me and therefore, yes, I've done it. And I'm thinking, wow, but surely you would know. And there were a few more questions. And the main teacher was what I call leading the witness. So he was saying, well, you know, yeah, and that big stillness that you noticed. And she's like, yeah, there was a big stillness. Yeah, and that means that. And he was leading her to the conclusion of what he expected her to have experienced during this phenomenal state change. Based on what she said, there was no evidence, but she trusted, because she had been told she had done it, but she couldn't answer anything herself. There wasn't any confidence. I think that's what I'm trying to say. She lacked conviction and confidence that she had actually expanded her consciousness or gone to higher realms, however you want to put it. And I'm trying not to give too much away because obviously I've been on this journey myself. And that really, really struck with me. The third story I want to share with you is a contrast. So when I sat for second initiation, which was quite some time later, I was sitting with friends who kindly put me up in their annex in Leeds. And they had this lovely, wonderful meditation space where you could just sit and meditate and not be bothered. So it's perfect. And I left Kent to drive there and my windscreen shattered, and it was back in the day that it was an old VW camper van and I couldn't get a replacement windscreen, and so I'd go into B&Q and buy plastic sheeting and wooden dowels and stuff, and I made a temporary windscreen, and by hook or by crook I was going to get to this meditate. And so when I finally arrived I was about 10 hours late, slightly I think it's fair to say stress, because I literally drove the whole way up the M1 holding this windscreen to stop it kind of bowing in. And it was a bit of an epic journey to get there. But it really, the important thing was I had to fight to get there. And that really put me in the frame of mind of, right, I'm here not to mess around. I'm here to go in and to let go and really commit to this wonderful opportunity of doing this state change. And I sat down and the following morning they came in and one of them gave me the energy, and straight away, boom, 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 massive things happening, unlike anything I've ever experienced. And I'd already decided, and this is what I really wanted to share with you, is that my attitude was, I don't care if the master himself tells me if I've done it or if I haven't done it. I don't care if the people I'm sitting with, who are both enlightened, tell me I've done it. Unless I know for myself 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt that I have done it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have any value. In other words, they can all tell me I've done it, but that's not good enough. I need to know for myself, because if there is really something going on here, if there is really a quantum shift in terms of spiritual awareness and consciousness, then I want to know for myself. I was not disappointed. It was phenomenal. But the point is, the pro forma, the way it was normally done, is they would then phone the master and say, how's he getting on? And the master would say, he needs to sit longer, or he's done it, or he hasn't done it. It was irrelevant to me. I knew when I had done it. And it took, I think they knew I had done it as well, but the master wouldn't confirm it until a few days later. And then he said, yeah, he's done it. So, but the point is, I know when I did it, and I know it was done. And a few of the other people I work with and who have gone through the journey had a very similar kind of attitude and realization that it's about what they know. It doesn't matter what other people say. And they really owned it. And I guess that's what I wanted to share, is a contrast to the person that was being led, like a, you know, leading the witness. I was the witness and I wasn't going to be led. I had to witness it for myself. It didn't matter what anyone else said. So I share these three stories with you as a kind of cautionary tale, really, of, well, what is the risk of asking someone else, even if they are a master or a teacher, what's my spirituality or where am I in my journey? Because you, from my perspective, and this is what I want for the people that I teach, you either know or you don't, okay? And if you're relying on someone else to tell you that you've progressed or that you're doing well, then you don't know. And then there's a problem. Okay. And this leads me on to the question I have, which is really for you, which is, what do you think has value? And I've kind of answered the question already, but let's talk about this. Would you rather, if I was your teacher, for example, me saying, you're doing great, you're doing really well, you've progressed, you've made it to the next level, or would you rather know it for yourself from your own experience? Okay, it's so obvious, but by talking about it and bringing it out to the kind of the open consciousness, bringing it into our present moment, then we can really take it from being unconscious and something that we probably understood but we haven't really articulated to something that now we can really reflect on. Okay, we're at a place now where we know that we value personal experience and see the benefit of not necessarily giving away our authority to others when it comes to spirituality. And it's wonderful sometimes how there's synchronicity, because a few days before I got that message from the student asking whether or not I could tell them about their level of progress, I actually found my old diary, and I'll just turn to a page. I was just flicking through it really just to look for things. Now, I don't know if you'll be able to see this very clearly or not, but going back to 2012, I'm just going to read you this. Now, this is after I'm enlightened, and this was actually me making notes for, I think it was an article I was writing at the time. So, who is the authority? If you've really done the state, then you don't need approval. And that really speaks to the heart of what we're talking about here, really. So it's quite nice. I mean, that was back in 2012, 10 years on, it's still relevant. So let's bring together everything we've learned so far and make sure that our understanding of spirituality in light of all that we've discussed is as good as it can be. And earlier I touched on three parts of what makes you human. So I talked about mind, I talked about spirit, and I talked about soul. The reason why this is relevant is because these are kind of, if you like, three stances from which a person can be moving towards spirituality. Okay, so if someone's coming at spirituality from their mind, it's curiosity. Fundamentally, it's curiosity. So the mind, say for example, I've heard about initiation, or I've heard about enlightenment, I've heard about people doing meditation. I'm curious, I want to know. But the mind wants to know. It doesn't actually want to experience. So it's always driven by knowledge. It's driven by almost like collecting things. So one of the dangers, if you like, of coming from the mind when it comes to spirituality is that that will also naturally lead to a desire for status. Okay. So I want to be a first initiate, or I want to be enlightened. And that lends itself to, well, why would a person ask? Because they want validation of their status. And status is not the same thing as state. So whenever someone is coming from the mind, which is fundamentally a curiosity, then there isn't really spirituality. There's curiosity about spirituality. But they will always be desiring a goal, something to tick, saying, well, I'm now enlightened, or I'm now a first initiate, or I've done this course, or I've got this certificate, whatever it is. And so it's not really true spirituality. When someone comes from the soul, that is the desire to reach God. And the soul gives them the impetus, the desire. But this isn't an intellectual thing. The spirit is the love of God. Now, there is an order to things. No one does anything if they're not at least curious. So we all start somewhere with the mind. But then you really need the soul to want to be spiritual, which is to have that desire to know God, or at least to know that there is something greater and to want to explore it, okay, greater than self. And without that, then we just stop at curiosity. It's only once our soul has been working on itself in terms of, like, it's hard to describe because we're kind of breaking things down into individual parts. So it's only when you have that inner desire and have been working on it and allowing it to blossom and grow, that after a while, that which you desire, you start to love. So when you desire another person, that eventually becomes love. And then your spirit, and we talked about this in the video series on love, the spirit will direct love towards that which you desire. So you first of all, and this is really important, you first of all need to have a desire to know, or to reach for God, not knowledge as such, but to reach for God, or to reach for something greater than yourself, something that's awe-inspiring, greater. And as that becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, your spirit starts to be, it's not awoken, because your spirit's always awake, it's always guiding you, but your spirit will then respond to your desire and send love. And if you desire God, then you start to have love for God. And so what this tells us is that you cannot have or really be on the meditative spiritual journey, which involves initiation, if you do not have a love for God, because it's the spirit that needs to go to God via the guide, by being guided by the light of God. And so, going back to the mind cannot communicate or know your soul's desire, nor your spirit's love for God. So the spiritual, what is spirituality within you, can never be adequately explained, even to yourself, by your mind. You can talk about it with your friends and you can be inspired, but talking about it, putting it into words, is not the spirituality. The spirituality is that deep inner burning, if you like, the furnace of your soul. It doesn't belong in words because it's not an intellectual thing. And that's where people, I think, sometimes really struggle. So it is totally an inner thing. And sometimes it's very hard to understand. It's very hard to explain, so let alone understand. But think about something. Consider the love you have for someone, or your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your partner, your wife, your husband, your children, whatever you have in life that you love, someone. You can't really put that into words, but you know, you feel, you sense, you have that love. So you can try and explain it, you can talk about how it makes you feel and how you react to it and things like this, but talking about it isn't the love. And so this is a really good metaphor, because spirituality, it's that dualistic, it's your soul and your spirit, it's your desire and it's your love for God. You can't put it into words, just as you can't really adequately explain what the love you have for another person is in words. So when we understand that, then we start to see it's not an intellectual journey. Right back at the start, this was all driven by a question. Can you tell me what my level of spirituality is, or words to that extent? And maybe this is something you can relate to. And even if you can't, there's value in this, because if you see this in another person, you can perhaps help guide them, recognizing now what the truth of it is. And earlier we did this exercise and I said we'd come back to it. I asked you to, in stillness, see what it is that comes up when I asked you, you know, where does this need to know come from? And I've done this with a lot of people, and I'm not saying I know what your particular answer is, but invariably a lot of it comes down to insecurity, wanting to be validated in some way, being unsure, wanting to be recognized, wanting someone to say, yeah, well done, you've done well. But what's behind all of that? All of these things have a dotted line to ego. Now, ego isn't, it is what it is. We're all capable of ego, so it's not a bad word. But if we at least recognize the various faces of ego, then we can start to move away from what is ego-driven. Because fundamentally, spirituality is the desire for something greater than self, and ego is the desire to validate self, to be more of yourself, to adorn yourself, if you like. And so, in a way, ego is the antithesis of spirituality, and so the very need to ask to be validated is coming from ego. What would help, perhaps, is to bring it all together now. We talked about God, we've talked briefly about God, we've talked about or mentioned life plans, we've talked about a student asking a teacher, so the whole thing about teachers has come up. We cannot really have a discussion about spirituality and progress without acknowledging life plans, because there's something fundamental here that I think is just not well understood. Giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, I think it's just not well understood. Your life plan is what you chose for your own soul development before you incarnated into this life. And it was you made that choice, recognizing what you need to bring yourself more into alignment with God's love, because it's about your soul. Okay? So if you're living the life you're meant to be living, in other words, if you're on your life plan, then you're learning the life lessons that you elected. And this means that everything's harmonious. Even the challenges are serving a purpose to help you learn, to help you evolve, to help you grow. And generally, if you're living your life plan, then it means that you're receptive to guidance. Now, all guidance, and we talk a lot about the various forms of guidance on articles and in books and a lot more in the books that are to come. But fundamentally, all guidance comes from God. Because think about what the soul and the spirit are there for. They're to bring you closer to God. So if you're living your life plan, then it means that you are living in harmony with your life plan, and that is because partly you are receptive and to the guidance. It doesn't mean you hear things. It doesn't mean that you get a letter through the door telling you, and today you have to do this. It's nothing like that. It's not reading the astrology in the newspaper or anything like that. But it's just living in a way where you are open and receptive to inner guidance, and that ultimately comes from God. But here's the thing. There is this massive assumption that everyone is ready for initiation, or everyone is ready for spirituality. On the planet at any time is the entire spectrum of soul growth. There are some souls, some people who are in their first or second or third incarnation. There are some who are in their 299th, 300th. They're not at the same place. And you're not ready spiritually until you've grown enough over many lifetimes that you're now ready for the biggest, or the kind of the culmination of the spiritual growth, which is the potential to seek out God. And so at any time on the planet, not everyone is in a position where it would be in alignment with their life plan for them to be spiritual. And so when you consider that there has been a historical belief that everyone should be initiated, or, you know, even the children, you know, no, it's not recognizing the truth of the matter necessarily. That is, it's certainly not acknowledging or respecting that there are life plans. And so if someone is meant to be spiritual and meant to actually start that part of their personal journey over many lifetimes, then they would have been born into a life and born into a situation or drawn to it because it would have been in alignment with and written into their life plan. And that's really important to understand. But that doesn't mean that if it's not in your life plan, you can't work towards spiritual growth. It just means that you might not be ready for initiation. Or it might be that the spiritual growth work would be secondary to some bigger lessons that maybe need to lay the groundwork. So lessons in humility or compassion or kindness or forgiveness. So what happens is that if it's not in their life plan, but the mind has heard about meditation, the mind has heard about initiation, or their friends have been initiated or something, so they become curious. The mind is goal orientated. It sees something it doesn't have and it wants to know, or it wants to gather that thing for itself. So then the person puts themselves under pressure. Well, I'm going to get initiated. But they're not really ready. Their soul's not in a place where they have an inner desire to move towards God. Their spirit's certainly not, because the soul's not there. The spirit's not sending love naturally to God. So they may read an article about sending love to God and they sit there and they try and do it and they get frustrated. And so what happens is when it's driven by the mind and it's not in alignment with the life plan, then there's frustration, there's friction, there's disappointment, there's exasperation, there's a sense of failure, because their expectation of where they should be doesn't really match with where they are. And they're not living in harmony with their actual life plan. And then if you're not living in harmony with your life plan, you're kind of off the rails a bit. Anything that you put your energy into that you're not meant to in terms of life plan will become difficult, will meet with the resistance. And so there's not much ease for those people who are trying to pursue spirituality when they're not ready. And this is why I talked earlier about giving fewer initiations and not kind of just saying, oh, this person wants to be initiated, but actually investigating whether it's right for them in this life at this time. And I kind of touched on this earlier, but those of us who are the kind of core teachers of the Way Back, we spend between 3 to 7 hours every single day kind of doing what I call energy work. So not stuff down here, but working on a much higher level. And a big part of this is addressing the needs of those who are ready, because if someone is actually ready for a spiritual journey, then there is, if they are willing and if they are genuinely ready and receptive, then there is a lot of work that can be done in terms of them understanding their life plans, them understanding things like karma and life lessons, and helping them really kind of accelerate that process, but only when they're ready and only if it's in accordance with and aligned with their life plan. And so this is why that maybe the number of people that we are initiating has gone down, but the investment in each individual has gone up. And that's quite a contrast to what we're seeing around the world, where a lot of groups, and again, it's not for me to say what's right or wrong, it's just this is where I'm coming from, and this is what we've learned spiritually over many, many years translates into how we then support others. There's in other scenarios, there's practically no acknowledgement of the soul or soul growth, and there's no support, and it's initiation and the revelation of God's light has been kind of renegated down to a weekend course. Easy come, easy go. And personally, I'm not comfortable with that, but I think if that's what people are drawn to, then that's what they're drawn to. Are they coming from their mind, or are they coming from their soul and their spirit? I think is a very interesting thing, but that's for them. You know, that's for, if I'm speaking to you about this matter, it's for you. And only you will know. That gives us a little bit about life plans. And then I think really there's something needs to be said about teachers, because this whole student-teacher dynamic, that when it's done well, is really supportive. When it's not done well and, you know, people abdicate authority and responsibility, then it can be quite a toxic thing. So let's just discuss that a little bit. What I'm referring to here is what I consider to be a true spiritual enlightened teacher. Okay. And anyone can make any claim. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing. So I give you what I give you to help you discriminate, so that when you hear things, you can then make your own mind up rather than just take things at surface value. Okay. So one of the key things about the state of enlightenment, but importantly, working with it and learning how to work with it, is the ability to be neutral. And when someone's neutral, then there's less of them involved. And what this really means is that as a spiritual teacher able to be neutral, an enlightened spiritual teacher able to be neutral, then it means the ability to put the student first. A true spiritual teacher would want to progress someone, would want someone to know the joy of enlightenment. So if it's not happening, then maybe they have a reason. Maybe it's because they know that it's not in alignment with that person's life plan, or that person's not ready yet. But the teacher, if they have the ability to help people progress, and even if we're not talking about meditation, even if we're just talking about soul growth and soul development, which is anyone can do, there's no requirement for meditation, the teacher would genuinely want that person to progress, and so would be working to help them. And if the person, if the student doesn't feel that they're getting the help, then maybe it's not because the teacher doesn't want to, maybe the student's not ready, okay? And a true spiritual teacher would have the wisdom to know, as we've discussed, that not everyone is going to be ready at this time, and that not everyone is at the same point in their own personal soul evolution and soul journey. And wisdom is also the acknowledgement that these gifts, whether it's to help someone on their soul journey or their spiritual journey, or whether it's the guidance work that we can do, comes from God. It doesn't come from us. And that's why there needs to be neutrality, because if you're not neutral, if someone isn't neutral, they will take ownership of it. They'll say, well, this comes from me, look how great I am. And it's not that at all. It comes from God. And that's why humility, which we'll talk about, is so important. And that is founded in neutrality and wisdom. Okay. And a spiritual teacher should be able to tell the difference between genuine soul and spirit, desire and love for God, and curiosity. And so sometimes people come and they're just curious, and that's great, and I give them what is available to steer them in the direction of soul growth. And then if they start to go in that direction, then we can take that curiosity of the mind and it can start to become something much more fundamental, much more powerful, which is that burning desire within. In my opinion, based on having worked in this way and having not worked in this way, having tried approaches that are laid out by others and seen the consequences of that, I think from where I'm coming from as a spiritual teacher, I believe in heavily investing in in those individuals who are ready, who have that yearning within their soul, that have that love for God in their spirit, and helping nurture that. We do not carry them. When someone sits down to meditate, they are the one meditating. When someone is working on their soul development, working on their spiritual growth, they're doing the work. So it's not saying heavily investing as in carrying or pushing or pulling someone along, not at all. But what it is being available to them when they ask, being there to give them what they need to move forwards, and seeing them as an individual rather than a room full of hundreds or more people. And to me, understanding what I understand now after all these years, and this is still, the learning never ends, is just how important things like the soul development, and everyone's soul is different, and how important the life plans and life lessons are of the individual that is in front of you, and not trying to shoehorn every student into the same box so that they conform to your model. So I think that's really important. When someone asks the question, can you tell me what my level of spirituality is? There's a massive kind of unconscious, this is demonstrating something fundamentally unconscious. Number one, it's demonstrating that they believe that knowing is going to help them. So if I fed back to them and said, well, your level of spirituality is here, and your level of this is here, you know, put percentages on these things, it's not going to help them. It's just going to give them something for their mind to latch onto, a number or a figure or a concept. So it doesn't help knowing, but there's a belief that knowing helps. The second thing is that it kind of demonstrates a lack of trust that their teacher actually wants them to progress, and a lack of trust that their teacher is able to work in harmony with the person's life plan and ultimately God. Now, I talked a bit about neutrality. When a teacher is humble and neutral, they are being guided just the same as the student, and so all are being guided by God. And since the spiritual journey is to go to God, then there has to be a certain amount of trust. Because if the student is trying to call the shots all the time and say, well, I think I should be progressing quicker, or I don't think that, you know, I think I should be initiated, you know, that kind of thing, then they're basically saying, well, God doesn't know what they're talking about, and you as a teacher who's enlightened don't know what you're talking about, I know better. That's unconsciously, and I exaggerate it slightly, but there is an element of that going on. Another big thing is what they're demonstrating unconsciously is that they're saying they're not really focused on what they have and where they are. They're focused on what they want. Because progress is also, the focusing on progress is focusing on the goal. It's not focusing on where they are at this time. And fundamentally, it's not being spiritual, because it's about the mind. It's the mind that asks these kind of questions. So what would a spiritual person, someone that is truly spiritual, whatever stage they're at, so even if they're not meditating, they haven't been initiated, they don't know about the way back, they don't use the word God, but they're spiritual, what would such a person look like? Well, they would be finding or living and demonstrating joy in who they are right now. There'd just be a joy to life. Doesn't mean everything's rosy, it doesn't mean everything's good, they could be struggling in certain aspects of life, but there would be joy. Secondly, they will just find that they are guided effortlessly to where they need to be, because they'd be living in harmony with their life plan. And so when they're ready for the next step, whatever it is, they would find themselves there. And that means that when the student's ready, they would find the teacher, for example. And there would be an ease to it all. It would just be natural. It wouldn't be contrived. They wouldn't be struggling to make these things happen. They would have an unshakable desire for something, even if they can't put a label on it, even if they don't call it God. They would have an unshakable desire, yearning, and knowing that there is something more, something greater. Okay? And it doesn't need to be put into words. That's important. It's not an intellectual thing. It's just there. And they would recognize that they are changing over time. Maybe they look back and go, wow, I've really grown in these aspects of my life, but not in an analytical self, you know, kind of congratulatory sort of way, but in a real humble and grateful sort of way. They would see that they are growing in there to be a more good person. And I choose my words carefully, because the word good, the root of the word good is godly. And since the soul journey is about reaching for God and becoming more of an embodiment of the qualities of love as a person, the more good you are, the more your soul has evolved, the closer you are to God. So a spiritual person over time would recognize their own growth, and they wouldn't need someone to tell them, because it's real, and they would know it for themselves. Here's something really fundamental to take away from all of this. As a soul's desire for God increases, then their love for God increases. But the soul part comes first. And so when people are talking about light and sound initiation and light and sound meditation, that's all about the spirit. If they haven't already done the work in terms of the soul, then even if they're initiated, even if they have the opportunity to get the light and sound, then there's something missing. It's the soul part that's missing. So really important there that the soul growth comes before spiritual growth. Now, a spiritual person, their journey isn't intellectual, and they would demonstrate that. They wouldn't be all intellectual. They wouldn't be on philosophical forums. They wouldn't be reading necessarily stacks of books and impressing people with their spiritual knowledge. That's esoteric stuff. That's not a spiritually developing person. That's just filling the mind with spiritually related facts and knowledge. A person that is genuinely spiritual, no matter what stage they're at, they generally don't need validation. Okay? Rather, they value spiritual guidance. Big difference. And they can accept with maturity the fact that they might not be ready, because there'd also be humility there, and the truth would resonate with them, because the more spiritual you are, the more your soul and your spirit within are guiding you. And so when someone like a teacher speaks spiritual truth to someone who is spiritual, they recognize it. And so they would have that, like if they were told, no, I'm sorry, at this time, either you're not ready or the situation or the environment isn't supportive of it, they wouldn't be despondent, because they would understand spiritually from their soul that every single moment in life has value, because the growth never ends. Okay? Because instead of being goal-orientated and feeling dejected because they can't move on to the next step, they would be valuing what they have now. Okay, so there's a knowledge that there is value in everything in someone that is truly spiritual. I've got it up there. There's a book called The Six Virtues. And this is kind of the core, or one of the kind of core parts of the teachings of the Way Back from the soul development point of view. But whether someone has heard about the six virtues or not, someone that is naturally becoming spiritual would start to be demonstrating and living and incorporating these qualities into who they are in everyday life. So we're talking about humility, gratitude, respect, non-judgment, compassion, and unconditional love. Excuse me. And these would be manifesting in them, in their attitude and their ways towards themselves, towards others, and ultimately towards God, whether they use the label or understand God or not, to that is greater. in terms of how you would find them, you would find that there is a real joy in being around someone that is spiritual, not intellectual, because there's like, there is a lightness, because there is light within. And so they would be naturally inspiring, even if they've never meditated, even if they don't know, you know, they've never kind of really considered themselves spiritual, they will just inspire others. Because the more a person moves towards God, becomes more good, the more they uplift others. Over time, especially as the spirit starts to kind of radiate love or have that love for God, which comes after the soul has already progressed quite far in terms of its spiritual desire for God, then such a person would naturally have a desire to have more God in their heart, more God in their life. And again, they might not label it as God, but it would be there in a growing kind of strong way that no one can take it away from them, because it's inside, it's theirs. It doesn't need to be explained or validated to it. Now you understand a lot more, hopefully. Maybe all of this you already knew, in which case I hope it's just kind of concretized and brought it all together in a way, and maybe challenged some of the assumptions that we all carry around at times. But what this really reveals is that if someone has, for whatever reason, maybe they just did not know any better, maybe they've just been beguiled by a teacher or something, but if someone has run forwards and pursued the spiritual journey without really understanding the soul journey and life plans and about God, then if they don't have love for God in them, they won't really benefit from the spiritual journey. Even if they were initiated, they would just struggle, they would just become frustrated, maybe despondent. They could also equally, because what people don't realize is there is light and there is sound on every single level, and the true initiation takes you into spiritual light, but it's very difficult using words to differentiate between spiritual light and, say, astral light. And there are some pretty profound experiences that people can have on the lower levels. And so if someone doesn't have that soul burning desire to reach for God and the love for God in their spirit, then it's like, in a way, they're lacking a compass. Then if they do meditate, even if they've gone through some kind of initiation process, it's unlikely that they're going to move in the right direction. Because the whole purpose of spirituality is God. And if you don't have love for God, then God isn't going to guide you towards God. The light of God isn't going to guide you. Because there has to be like an attraction. Okay? Doesn't mean God doesn't love. You know, we talk a lot about unconditional love in some of the previous videos, but recognizing that the spiritual journey is a gift that comes from God is really, really important. So if God isn't in the equation, then what is? What has value beyond that? So I'll leave you with these things, and I welcome your feedback. And if you haven't already, then I really highly recommend podcasts 33 and 34. And I'm going to put a load of links on the website and in the video description and stuff like this. But thank you for staying with us. It's been quite a big, meaty video. And hopefully you've got some value from it. All that remains is for me to say God bless you. And thank you very much. Peace.